Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter when you get a chance, and also don't forget, if you want to ask a question, here's the email to do that, askjim@jbsba.com, and I will incorporate not only my own thoughts, but if necessary, and very likely, a member of our brain trust will ask them about the question. So if you want to ask a question or make a comment, askjim@jbsba.com. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
First up on the Kiplinger letter this week is good news and bad news on costs, right?
Well, yeah. And I guess we start off with the bad news, unfortunately. Mostly bad news. But we say that higher costs will hit businesses hard this year. And, of course, you know, energy is probably the first thing that people think about when they think about higher costs right now.
One of the things, I'd like to, at the risk of sounding like a Pollyanna here, Joan. You know,
that's remember, our job.
You've seen the movie Pollyanna where she played the glad game, you know, she tried to find things to be glad about.
Yeah.
Well, she was my first heartthrob, by the way, way back in those many years ago. But anyway, that's another story. The good news is, remember all the years that we complained about companies not having any pricing power?
Oh, sure.
And not being able to make a profit because there's no pricing power?
Yep.
You know, okay, if you're having to write the check and pay more money for stuff, you probably don't like that. But if you look around, you're probably noticing that maybe you've got a little bit of pricing power right now.
Well, you know, everything's a double-edged sword.
That's right. So the point is that if prices are going up for some things, not we're going to talk about some things that prices, you know, are going up on that we really don't like fuel, but some prices are going up, and it's really kind of good for the economy, in a way. I mean, it can be a little bit inflationary, but you know, as long the people who are having the problem, Joan, are the ones who have to pay these higher prices, but they still haven't figured out a way to get any pricing power.
Well, I guess that's the problem. You know, as you say, a little inflation is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
The key is sort of, you know, keeping it in check, though.
Well, I think globalization, productivity, mm-hmm. and the commoditization of so many things that are in our lives today are going to help hold the prices down, you know, so that inflation will stay pretty much in control for a while, with the exception of a couple of things that kind of get out of control. One of them is energy, and the other is insurance.
That's right. But just to go back to your previous point, you know, the last time we had runaway inflation, we didn't have globalization to the extent that we have now.
That's right.
So it will be interesting to see what effect that does have on pricing as we, you know, kind of move forward here.
I believe globalization, Joan, and I'd like your thoughts on this. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'll get you to comment. I think globalization is one of the best things that could happen to make inflation become something that almost never runs away again, that we never have runaway inflation again. And if we don't, it'll be because of globalization. What do you think?
Well, it pains me to say it, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Joan. would you say that again, please?
Yeah, I know. I'm not feeling well today.
And tell us why. Tell us why
it's
such a genius idea.
Well, because you name it, there's countries out there. If you're overpricing your products, you can bet that there's a country out there willing and able to make that product for a lower price and bring it into your country. So it kind of is going to keep everybody honest. I don't mean literally honest. People are honest already. But, you know, it'll keep them mm-hmm. from ratcheting up prices
fast.
You
can't do a lot of gouging these days, can you?
Right.
Other than OPEC and other than the fuel, somehow the petroleum folks have figured out how to do that, and I'm not sure about the insurance companies. I know they got some challenges themselves.
Well,
but,
that's true.
But it's kind of hard to gouge people these days, isn't it?
Exactly.
And so to me, that's, and see, that's something, let me ask you a question. When have you heard anybody else say that? When have you ever heard anybody say that globalization is the best thing that could happen to holding inflation down?
Well, and I think it's because people aren't really thinking about inflation right now, and
right.
They're not wondering what could make it come back. But we, being on the cutting edge of issues, well, you know, are performing that service.
Exactly. Jim and Joan, absolutely. The Jim
right.
and Joan show, no
Joan
question.
Joan and Jim.
No, I'm sorry, the Joan and Jim show, no question about it. But some things are actually coming down a little bit. Office rents are coming down a little bit. Industrial
right.
rents are a little bit soft, too, according to Kiplinger, right?
There are some hot markets, but not too many.
Telecom is still doing well in terms of the consumer, right?
That's right. If you need a long-distance phone contract, now's the time to get it.
There's another thing on the horizon, Joan. It's actually in front of us. It's not quite within the grasp of the masses yet, and that's voice over IP, voice over internet protocol.
Ooh, that means making phone calls on the internet.
And telecom even cheaper. Another hit to the telecom industry in terms of, I mean, talk about an industry that has no pricing power.
I was going to say, I can't believe the phone companies would be happy about this development.
Well, they probably aren't, but it's something that they're going to have to either going to have to get with the program, or they're going to be out of business, because you and I both know 10 years from now, voice over IP, voice over the internet will be the way. It'll be the
Which means if they're smart, they will have branched out into other things such as cable TV and stuff like that.
Bingo, which many of them are doing. That's exactly right.
Right.
But then we've got the two ugly ones, Joan, and that's energy and insurance. Talk to us about energy.
Well, I don't know what else we can say about energy, and that's just no good news here. We keep saying that gasoline prices are going to top $2 a barrel, and
top how much a barrel?
Gasoline prices topping $2 a gallon.
A gallon, $40 a barrel probably is the, what is it now,
yeah,
40, is it about 40?
I know it's over 30. It's probably over 35 now.
I saw something the other day that said, adjusted for inflation, if that the price is $100 a barrel, if compared to the way, when it was at the other, when it was high, when it was at that price before, the previous record in dollars, which was in the 70s, I think, that if adjusted for inflation, that same barrel of oil would be $100 today.
Well, see, I still don't understand what happened. OPEC, a long time ago, it said they wanted to keep prices at 29.
I'm still trying to sort out where all this money is going myself.
Right.
And I would have thought Kiplinger would have had that figured out by now, Joan.
We'll have to work on that.
20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, the lovely and talented and often acerbic Joan Price.
She's down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.
We are back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with Joan Price, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about business costs and what's happening to them. And I still say it's a matter of people being able to actually raise prices for the first time in years, which is kind of good for everybody a little bit. But you know, Joan, I think the key to here is if your business is good and you're able to raise prices a little bit and you're showing a little bit of profit, you know, good for you, congratulations, and you should be very happy about that, but be careful not to buy a trip around the world with it, because everybody else is getting to do the same thing. So you might
Exactly. Might
have to expect your dry cleaning bill to go up 5% and your lawn mowing bill to go up 8% or whatever, and so you know, it's out there, and that's a good thing, isn't it? In a lot of ways it is, and so we have to be prepared for that. But two things that are out of control, energy, as we talked about, petroleum especially, gasoline. And part of the problem, Joan, as we probably have reported before, is the lack. We've got more demand for gasoline, but we don't have more capacity to refine it, do we?
That's right. Haven't been building refineries.
And that's a problem, folks. That's
sure.
A problem that we may, Joan, have only just begun paying for that.
Ooh.
You know?
That's not good.
No. And the other thing that you guys point out very well this week, Joan, in the letter, is insurance. Now, and we're not just talking about health insurance either, are we?
Well, no, although there is a little bright spot here on the non-health side, on property and casualty insurance and other types of insurance that businesses use, we're seeing a trend where even though rates are increasing, they're increasing at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good news. Even in the workers' comp area, things are kind of slowing down. So your bill probably is going to be higher, but you're not going to see these whopping increases that you saw the last couple of years.
Workers' comp increase may be down by almost half, according to Kiplinger. And Joan, you know, as we've said before, we don't like the numbers in this case, but we like the trend.
The trend. Now, the exception to that is health insurance.
Yeah. But you know, Joan, here's something that still hasn't kicked in yet that we talked about in the last hour with a healthcare expert. And that's the HSAs, which, as you know, were part of the Medicare bill of December 2003. That's called consumer-managed health care. People are self-insured to some level, to $1,000 up to $2,000, to $5,000, self-insured per individual or per family in any given year. And that is a real-world alternative with an incredible carrot to go with it. A nice, sweet, juicy carrot to go with
it,
to get people to move from managed care to consumer managed care, consumer care.
Right. We think that's probably going to be huge. It'll be interesting to see how HSAs play out and develop over the next year or so.
Well, if I have my way, I'm going to be telling people, I'm going to be shouting this from the ramparts, because this is such an entrepreneurial resource, such an entrepreneurial development, Joan, because think about it. The essence of HSAs, of health savings accounts, the essence of it is two things. Number one is you being somewhat self-insured, which is the kind of thing that small business owners do every day with their businesses, taking risks with their businesses, calculated risks. And number two, saving for the future.
Right. But it's a good way for a business to help someone with health care costs without them taking on all the liability.
Exactly.
Because you as a business, if you want to, you can set up an HSA for your employee, but you contributed to it, and I believe you get a deduction for the contribution, but your liability is limited by the contribution you make. The employee takes that help and gets the insurance, but then they have to make all the decisions and take the responsibility for the choices they make in health care, which is
really
kind of what we've been moving toward all along anyway.
Exactly. And remember how the times that you and I have talked about this, Joan, that if we can get – remember all the years that you and I have said if we could ever get the tax code focused on self-determination for health care, that making it portable, that's when things would change. Remember all the years we talked about that? Now we've got that.
Right. And this is a big step toward that. Now,
it's
the
huge.
Only trick here is – this only applies to people with very high deductible policies.
But here's the thing, Joan, for
small businesses.
But here's the thing, though, Joan. The deductible isn't any more than what you put into the savings account.
Right.
So if you have a $1,000 deductible, you've also put $1,000 into the savings account. And if you use it, if you need that $1,000, you can't afford to pay it out of your own pocket. If you are sick or get hurt, you got $1,000 there to pay
for.
Right.
No, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that limits eligibility.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you, it's the good thing about it, though, Joan, is the difference in the HSAs and the MSAs is a lot more people are eligible now.
Right.
Everybody's eligible. See, the MSAs, only certain people were eligible. But with an MSA, an HSA, everybody's basically eligible. But certain components of it are a little different for the employed or the not employed. But it's very good, folks, and I hope you check into this. I hope you'll start looking into it. Joan, if we could get millions of Americans on HSAs, that would really help a lot of areas. It would help the overburdened healthcare system, wouldn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
Joan, another quick thing is that corporate governance, based on some of the new laws, is going to add a lot of expense. And when we come back after these messages, I want to hit that real quick, and then we'll move on to some other things. And folks, this is an expensive thing that's happened, you heard us talk about Sarbanes-Oxley, and it's basically that's at the root of this. 29 after, we're going to be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, we were talking about one last pretty good size expense that companies are having. Small businesses aren't affected so much by this one as much as large businesses. And that's the new corporate governance rules that are becoming added expense. And Sarbanes-Oxley bill is at the heart of this, isn't it?
Right, and I hate to correct you, but what I would say, I think you're kind of true when you say big businesses are affected more than smalls, but what we have found is that smalls are affected more than we might realize, because there's a decent chunk of small businesses out there that are public companies.
Yeah.
And they have, their problem is that they don't have the economies of scale that large businesses have when coping with these costs. Because they have higher costs with their accountants,
exactly,
and their auditors. They have new controls that they have to put in place, new disclosures they have to make. They have the SEC all over their case. And it's actually made some companies consider going private because it's just not worth it.
Well, that's exactly. And, no, you're exactly right. And I wanted to be a little more specific about what, when I say small, it doesn't affect small businesses. I'm really thinking of the people who are the true small business owners who probably will never be, you know, public companies. They'll never probably have, you know, 500 employees or anything. But you're right. The companies that are close to going public, or maybe only recently have gone public, this has created another layer of hoops to jump through, another layer of significant expense to have to pay.
Sure.
And
has.
What has happened is it's raised the minimum required in terms of capital, in terms of funding, for a company to go from private to public, too, hasn't it?
Yes, it's raised the minimum level of funding and added a whole bunch of hoops and different items that they have to apply to and comply with at the SEC.
I actually know a company that went public in the 90s, and she's been on the show. She's talked to us about this before, about this whole experience, and she actually took her company back private in the last couple of years.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah,
sure.
She said it was just because they went public and they were a pretty good sized company, but they weren't quite big enough to really be able to sustain this new stuff, and it was eating them alive, and so they went back private, and now they're profitable again.
See,
because they cut
sense.
All that out. And let's be specific a little bit about what this means. The Sarbanes-Oxley bill, folks, was a reaction to all the corporate malfeasance that happened in 2001. Primarily, it surfaced largely beginning in 2001 with Enron and WorldCom and all that. So it was an overreaction in many cases by Congress, by the government, to all of that. When a dozen or so companies out of the 15,000 public companies, only about 0.8% of the companies did anything wrong, they overreacted. Now this is this new expensive blanket of regulation that's put on all of them, and it has to do with how they manage their boards, how they audit their records, and all that, doesn't it, Joan?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to take issue a little bit on the idea of overreaction, because I think boards over time have become way too chummy with the top officials of companies, and maybe the examples aren't as extreme as Enron, but. And I'm not saying that all companies are dishonest, but I think there were maybe better decisions could have been made if boards were not as chummy with their top executives, and if the auditors weren't also providing other consulting services that cause conflicts of interest.
Well, the reason that I say overreacting, Joan, is because everything that Enron and WorldCom and all those guys did, there were already laws on the books to that were supposed to prevent those things. Those guys broke the law. They're going. The guys who are in jail right now and are going to jail aren't going to jail because of Sarbanes-Oxley. They're going to jail because of laws that were already on the books.
Right, and that's why Sarbanes-Oxley has gotten at some other problems in corporate governance that needed to be fixed.
Well, exactly. Although I still stand by my modifier, I still say that overreacted in terms of how far it went, when all they could have done was taken the same laws that they had and just improved them a little bit. And another place, Joan, another place that this has hurt smaller businesses, and I'm talking about like a 50-employee company that gets audited financial statements. The Sarbanes-Oxley bill has increased the cost, the price of audits now. And so they now cost that level of accounting, auditing accounting services, is now cost small businesses more than it used to. That's where it's gotten down farther into the smaller business ranks. And it's unfortunate, but it's one of those things. Quick break, 22. We'll be right back. We've got more to come with our good friend Joan Bride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back. It's the anniversary song. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that the person on the other end of this phone line visiting with us right now has an anniversary. Andrew, you didn't know that, did you?
I didn't, but I was a little upset that you started with Procol Harum and yanked it for the anniversary song.
Well, that's the deft fingers of Robin, my producer.
That's,
you know,
right.
You just can't get good help these days. No, this is your fifth anniversary with us.
Oh my God!
How about that?
And I'm still 30 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Well, happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you. This is that's great to know, and I applaud you for all your efforts. If you and I have been at it for 5 years, then I know you've been at it for longer, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been because of folks like you, our Brain Trust member, our outstanding Brain Trust members who just keep coming back and want to get back to the marketplace and to small business owners. I know how much you feel about how important small business owners are, and you've got something to say, and you're willing to share it with us, and we appreciate that very much. Andrew, your newest book is now, I know you got a new one coming out in the summer, second edition, but of course I always talk about I sell a lot of your franchise and licensing books. I sell those all the time to my friends primarily, but the newest book that you've got out, remind me which one that is.
Well, that's actually the book you're mentioning, the Franchising and Licensing third edition,
okay,
is the latest book, and I'm working on Raising Capital second edition. And I guess once you get a couple of, you know, for those of you thinking about writing a book that are listening, once you get a bunch of successful titles out there, you know, it's a shame, because I'd like to eventually break out of the first, second, and third edition mode and write something new. But I continue to get requests for keeping the books that have done very well current. And so, I'm working on the second edition of Raising Capital, the book that just came out is the third edition of Franchising Licensing. I need to eventually break out of that cycle to write something new, but I always put some new stuff in the edition. So,
well, be sure to check that out
on the book front.
And those are available wherever fine books are sold, and a couple of places where they're not so fine. So,
exactly.
So check that out when you get a chance. And the last name is Sherman, Andrew J. Sherman. You can check him out at any of the online bookstores or your local bookstores. And don't forget, if you're thinking about getting into a franchise, you'd like to start a small business, and you want to know a little bit about franchising, the Bible in that industry is Franchising and Licensing by Andrew Sherman. Okay, Andrew, we're talking about our small businesses, making sure that when we look around and we see all this anxiety in the marketplace, and we notice the stock market's, you know, down a few hundred points over the last month or so, we need to make sure that we don't let that get into our head and cause us to get derailed and lose our own momentum, don't we?
That's right. We as small companies and entrepreneurs, we've always talked about them being the growth driver of the economy, being the backbone of the economy. The backbone needs to get its act together, even if it needs a little bit of a back brace to stay firm, to keep our head in the game. I think that small companies need to keep their plans on track. You know, my observations, and then we can drill into any of these, but just to tick them off quickly, you know, the economy is still recovering. Interest rates are still low. Equity players are still looking for deal flow. Customers are still spending money. M&A in the middle market and smaller companies is still active.
Mergers
and intellectual
acquisitions.
still a big growth driver. I mean, all of these factors are still true. They have not changed.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S. economy is still doing well. I mean, we're probably tracking at a high 4%, maybe 5% growth in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the discussion that it bothers me, I guess, in two ways, but a big part of the discussion has been, well, where are the jobs? You know, how can the economy recover if there's not the jobs being created? And on the one hand, I agree with that. I'd like to see more jobs generated. I feel bad for anybody listening who's out of a job, and I know it's tough out there. On the other hand, we're not factoring in the productivity and efficiency that technology's created.
Mm-hmm.
Companies can grow, but you know, with everything that's available to them, grow with hiring less people. And that too, is an unfortunate, or fortunate, depending on what your perspective is, a fact of this growth.
Well, you know,
the job situation will catch up.
I mean, what happened to all the buggy whip, the people who worked in the buggy whip factories?
That's
you know,
right.
100 years ago, they had to go get retrained and go do something else. When the farmers, when tractors and gleaners and reapers and pickers, you know, automated pickers came into business on the marketplace, that put a lot of farmers out of business, a lot of farmhands out of business. Those people had to get retrained and to go do something else. And we're in no different situation right now than we were then. Intellectual capital has reached another plateau, and that technology has proliferated, and it's put some people out of work. And it's a cycle, isn't it, Andrew?
Well, it is. And I also think, and I'm going to say something that's not going to be well received by all the listeners, but I hope it will be received by you and some of the listeners, and that is, you know, I know a guy who's been out of work for a year and a half. He's a very smart guy. He's got a lot of talent. He's got some savings in the bank. All he does is bitch and moan about the job market, and I say, mm-hmm. why don't you start your own company?
Yeah.
Solve this problem by being an entrepreneur, by starting something, by creating jobs, not only for yourself but for others, and stop bitching and moaning about the bad job market.
Yeah.
And he could easily start a consulting practice or, you know, get something going, and I think I'm finally getting through to him.
Well, you need to, because it sounds to me like he just wants somebody to adopt him, and I'll tell you something. There aren't many adopted jobs out there anymore. There were in the 20th century. The 21st century, not so much. Tintail, we'll be right back with our good friend Andrew Sherman, the author of Franchising and Licensing, 3rd edition. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Back at 7 till. How about Grace Slick, Andrew?
There you go.
There you go. Andrew Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm your host. And we're talking about making sure that you, when you think about what's going on in the world, that you don't get your, you don't lose your momentum by watching the Wall Street. You don't lose your momentum by watching the news. You know, Andrew, sometimes, you know, it would have been great if we had had CNN in 1939, there might be millions of people living right now who were killed in World War II and in the conflict and out of the conflict, I should say in the war and the Holocaust might have been prevented. If we'd had CNN in 1939, some sunlight would have been shined on all that. But sometimes I think we have too much news. You know, if you watch television, it's not only what's coming out of the mouths of the people on the screen, but you got, you know, like maybe two different types of crawlers across the bottom, and so sometimes I think we need to almost unplug and just focus on what's going on. You know, if you're doing okay, you know, that's all right.
Well, I think it's that. It's also, you know, I mean, look, I don't mean to sound like Tony Robbins here this morning, but you know, if you're going to wake up in the morning and let some, you know, crazy Hamas radical rule your world and rule your business plans for growth, then,
and get inside
then they
your
win.
Head.
Okay, yeah, then they win. That's exactly what they're trying to do. And you look at what's happened, you know, over the weekend, the Hamas leader was threatening the U.S., mm-hmm. and within 48 hours, he's already backed down and said, well, we didn't really mean that. We don't want to declare war on the U.S.
That's right.
You know, but for 2 days, the markets were freaked. People were freaked. You know, my phone barely rang. Everybody's afraid of the big Hamas attack. And I thought, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is really ridiculous. And it's not that these threats should not be taken seriously. Of course they should. And it's a new thing for Americans to wake up and hear other countries threaten them nonstop. But this is not something that you can let guide your business growth plans, or we're letting them win.
Well, exactly.
And that's how we have to approach this stuff, is keep your plans on track. Know the economy is recovering, and that you as a small business owner, entrepreneur, can be part of that recovery, and don't let yourself get psyched out.
Well, and the thing is just as terrorism can be, the threat of terrorism can be contagious, and just as, you know, terrorism is chaos, basically, and that's what these guys are trying to do. But just as that can ripple through a society, so can the kind of optimism, the kind of a positive attitude you're talking about, Andrew. I mean, if somebody calls you up and says, "Are you worried about all this?" and you say, "Well, you know what? It's a fact of life. But we're doing good around here. We're working. We got we got customers to take care of. We're rocking and rolling here." And then that person, their attitude changes a little bit. I think we need to feed off of each other in a positive way, not a negative way.
Agreed. I mean, one of my most favorite examples of this is, remember, right after 9/11. Stock markets were closed for 3 or 4 days while they got the systems up to speed.
Right.
The day the markets opened, of course, everyone knew we had our 600-700 point drop. But within a week or week and a half, I believe the markets recovered every bit of that drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the great thing about this country. And we got to get into that mindset, to go back to my basketball analogy half an hour ago. You know, yeah, we were up by 20 points. We let that fear and uncertainty team get back in, and they're ahead by 10. But the game's not over, and we're the same team that was just up by 20. Let's recapture that momentum.
Well, you know, what is momentum? Momentum is nothing more than just, you know, our what's in our minds. Our momentum is what's in between our ears. That's where that comes from.
Yep.
We can, we can change that. And I think small business owners are really, I think we're slow to lose momentum. Now, we may be slow to get it back, but I don't, you know, I just don't have the feeling that small business owners get as jumpy and as nervous about the economy as maybe some of the big companies do, maybe especially some of the international companies. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, I think that that is definitely true. I think the fear that's out there right now is this uncertainty of, you know, was the economic recovery that was underway for real? And, I'm looking at an article in front of me from, you know, I'm not going to give them a plug, but it's one of the leading financial houses in the world. And this article makes the argument, and let's end on this because I know we're running out of time, that this is the intermission, not the final act.
Exactly.
And so let's look at it as intermission. Let's go get our popcorn and soda, and let's get back in our seats and start growing our companies, you know, real soon.
Well said, Andrew. And right on time, too. You're good. You've done this
That's
before,
right.
haven't
and
you?
And I'm getting used to it. On my fifth anniversary, I finally got it down.
Thanks, Andrew. Good job today. We'll see you later.
All right. Take care.
Happy anniversary. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back. Don't go away.
USA Radio Network News, this is John Scott. The United Nations Security Council will vote later today on a resolution condemning Israel for assassinating Hamas spiritual leader Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. The draft resolution, introduced by Algeria, the only Arab nation on the 15-member council, U.S. Ambassador John Negroponte has made it clear that any measure that doesn't also specifically condemn Hamas will be vetoed. Even with a U.S. veto, sponsors of the measure can call an emergency session of the 191 National General Assembly if the resolution receives the minimum 9 votes needed for adoption. Meanwhile, the political leader of Hamas is warning all Israelis that the Palestinian terrorist group considers no one off-limits from attack following Monday's assassination of Yassin. Why weren't the 9/11 terrorist attacks detected and stopped? CIA Director George Tenet says he feared that something big was imminent in 2001, but he thought it would happen overseas.
We didn't steal the secret that told us what the plot was. We didn't recruit the right people or technically collect the data, notwithstanding enormous effort to do so.
Tenet testifying before the Independent Commission investigating 9/11, the two-day hearings will result in a final report released this summer. The Supreme Court has heard arguments over the phrase "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance. Atheist Michael Newdow has sued his daughter's school district in California, saying the words violate the Constitution's religious endorsement ban. Meanwhile, hundreds of rallies nationwide, supporters of the phrase say it is completely constitutional. This is USA Radio News.
3 days, huh?
Yep, 3 days.
Sure?
Sure.
Let's go.
Please, I'm halfway there already.
There's only 3 more days for Kohl's lowest prices of the season. 14-karat gold earrings and earring sets are just $13.99. Carter's rompers, sunsuits, and dress sets are $6.99. Selected kitchen items from Black & Decker and Rival are just $14.99. Men's Croft & Barrow solid piquet polos are $9.99. Plus more savings store-wide. It's the last 3 days of Kohl's lowest prices of the season this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
This is William Shatner for Priceline.com. Did you know when you book a hotel on Priceline, you can actually save up to 40% off Expedia and Hotels.com? In fact, you can stay in Orlando for as low as $30 a night, L.A. $35, D.C. $50. Priceline guarantees the best prices every time. And if you book your hotel with your airfare, you'll save even more. Top of the line. Guaranteed best price. Priceline. Hotels.
See website for guaranteed details. Priceline's reservation process is unique and different from other online sites.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair on a historic trip. He's become the first British leader to visit Libya since World War II. Libya recently denouncing terrorism and saying it was giving up its pursuit of weapons of mass destruction. A group that threatened to bomb the French railway network has suspended its action. AZF halted its threat a day after a bomb was found on the line that links Paris to Switzerland.
AZF is a shadowy group thought to be linked to an explosion at a factory of the same name in Toulouse several years ago. The group had threatened to bomb the French rail network last December and repeated its threat earlier this year, leading to a search of tens of thousands of miles of train tracks. But a day after a bomb was discovered and defused on the main line between Paris and Switzerland, the French Interior Ministry says it's received a statement from AZF suspending its threats. The latest find came hours after a memorial service for the victims of the Madrid bombings on March the 11th. There's no information on whether the French bomb was linked to AZF. Suzanne Chislett, London.
This is USA Radio News.
Liz Curtis-Higgs here, inviting my fiction-loving friends to read Fair as the Rose, the sequel to my Scottish historical novel, Thorn in My Heart. Author Francine Rivers called Fair as the Rose a terrific story. I hope you'll agree. The McBride sisters, lovely, spirited Rose and quiet, gentle Anna, are caught in a desperate situation, much like Rachel and Leah were centuries ago. Get ready for a shocking turn of events that will test the limits of love and sacrifice. You'll find Fair as the Rose at your favorite bookstore, published by Waterbrook Press.
Accused mass murderer Marcus Wesson scheduled to appear in a Fresno, California courtroom for arraignment later today. Wesson facing charges he fatally shot nine of his children. Mass murder the worst in Fresno's history. Wesson could receive the death penalty if he's convicted. Blacks lag behind whites in economics and education, but they're more involved than whites in government and military service. Mark Morial is the president of the National Urban League, which is putting out a State of Black America report.
We have had progress in some areas. The middle class has quadrupled in the black community. More African-American elected officials, corporate executives than ever before.
Among the other conclusions, less than half of black families own their homes. That compares to more than 70% for white families. And blacks are less likely to get college degrees, but blacks outmeasure whites when it comes to becoming active in government, unions, and volunteering for the military. More news on USARadio.com. This is John Scott on the USA Radio Network.
Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show, brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built to help small business. And Office Depot, what you need to know. And now, the man who teaches big business how to help small business and small business how to compete with the big guys.
Kick the tires and light the fires, big guy.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blassingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. It's good to be with you. As always, it's my pleasure to spend another hour with you talking about things that are important to your small business, whether it be directly related to your small business, like the last hour
which where we talked about health savings accounts, a very important new capability from a human resources standpoint that should help you to be a lot more competitive in your business with employees by being able to offer them some health care that maybe you wouldn't have been offered before, to make something makes a lot more sense for everybody, whether it be something like that or just basically talking about the marketplace and how it affects you, how the marketplace is behaving these days and how that affects you, as we also did with Andrew Sherman last hour. But in terms of what's going on in the world out there, and that's what we're going to do this hour with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're going to talk about what's happening, what Kiplinger says is going on in the marketplace and in the world, and how that's going to affect your business, and that's coming up in just a few minutes. I want to remind you, though, about tomorrow. The next show, I'm going to be broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and I'm going to be at the an entrepreneurship conference, a future of entrepreneurship conference that the SBA's Office of Advocacy is conducting with a number of other people. It's going to be at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce office in Washington, D.C., and a bunch of folks, a bunch of really smart folks are going to be getting together to talk about what the future looks like for entrepreneurs. What's the 21st century looks like? Well, I can tell you right now, it looks pretty darn good. But they're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about macroeconomics, talk about technology, going to talk about capitalization, and four of the individuals involved in that conference are going to be on this show, on the next show. Giovanni Cordolona, Zoltan Ox, Patty Green, and Bob Lighton. Great folks, and I'm looking forward to introducing them to you. That's coming up in the next show. Nine After, stay with me. I'll be right back. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Thank you. back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter when you get a chance. And also, don't forget, if you want to ask a question, here's the email to do that. AskJim@jbsba.com, and I will incorporate not only my own thoughts, but if necessary, and very likely, a member of our Brain Trust will ask them about the question. So if you want to ask a question or make a comment, AskJim@jbsba.com. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Joan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
First up on the Kiplinger letter this week is good news and bad news on costs, right?
Well, yeah, and I guess we start off with the bad news, unfortunately.
Mostly bad news.
Mostly bad news, but we say that higher costs will hit businesses hard this year. And, of course, you know, energy is probably the first thing that people think about when they think about higher costs right now.
One of the things, I'd like to, at the risk of sounding like a Pollyanna here, Joan. You know,
that's our job.
You've seen the movie Pollyanna where she played the glad game, you know, she tried to find things to be glad about.
Yeah.
Well, she was my first heartthrob, by the way, way back in those many years ago. But anyway, that's another story. The good news is, remember all the years that we complained about companies not having any pricing power?
Oh, sure.
And not being able to make a profit because there's no pricing power?
Yep.
You know, okay, if you're having to write the check and pay more money for stuff, you probably don't like that. But if you look around, you're probably noticing that maybe you've got a little bit of pricing power right now.
Well, you know, everything's a double-edged sword.
That's right. So the point is that if prices are going up for some things, we're going to talk about some things that prices, you know, are going up on that we really don't like fuel and insurance. But some prices are going up, and it's really kind of good for the economy in a way. I mean, it can be a little bit inflationary. But, you know, as long as the people who are having the problem, Joan, are the ones who have to pay these higher prices, but they still haven't figured out a way to get any pricing power.
Well, I guess that's the problem. You know, as you say, a little inflation is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
The key is sort of, you know, keeping it in check, though.
Well, I think globalization, productivity, mm-hmm. and the commoditization of so many things that are in our lives today are going to help hold the prices down, you know, so that inflation will stay pretty much in control for a while, with the exception of a couple of things that kind of get out of control. One of them is energy, and the other is insurance.
That's right. But just to go back to your previous point, you know, the last time we had runaway inflation, we didn't have globalization to the extent that we have now.
That's right.
So it will be interesting to see what effect that does have on pricing as we, you know, kind of move forward here.
I believe globalization, Joan, and I'd like your thoughts on this. I'm going to make a statement here, and I'll get you to comment. I think globalization is one of the best things that could happen to make inflation become something that almost never runs away again, that we never have runaway inflation again. And if we don't, it'll be because of globalization. What do you think?
Well, it pains me to say it, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Joan. would you say that again, please?
Yeah, I know. I'm not feeling well today.
And tell us why. Tell us why it's
well,
such a genius idea.
Well, because you name it, there's countries out there. If you're overpricing your products, you can bet that there's a country out there willing and able to make that product for a lower price and bring it into your country. So it kind of is going to keep everybody honest. I don't mean literally honest. People are honest already. But, you know, it'll keep them mm-hmm. from ratcheting up prices
fast. You can't do a lot of gouging these days, can you?
Right. That's
other than OPEC and other than the fuel, somehow the petroleum folks have figured out how to do that, and I'm not sure about the insurance companies. I know they got some challenges themselves.
Well,
but,
that's true.
But it's kind of hard to gouge people these days, isn't it?
Exactly.
And so to me, that's something. Let me ask you a question. When have you heard anybody else say that? When have you ever heard anybody say that globalization is the best thing that could happen to holding inflation down?
Well, and I think it's because people aren't really thinking about inflation right now, and
right.
they're not wondering what could make it come back. But we, being on the cutting edge of issues, you know, are performing that service.
Exactly. Jim and Joan, absolutely. The Jim and Joan show, no
Joan
question.
Joan and Jim.
No, I'm sorry. The Joan and Jim show, no question about it. But some things are actually coming down a little bit. Office rents are coming down a little bit. Industrial rents are a little bit soft, too, according to Kiplinger, right?
There are some hot markets, but not too many.
Telecom is still doing well in terms of the consumer, right?
That's right. If you need a long-distance phone contract, now's the time to get it.
There's another element. There's another thing on the horizon, Joan. It's actually in front of us. It's not quite within the grasp of the masses yet, and that's voice over IP, voice over internet protocol.
Ooh, that means making phone calls on the internet.
And telecom even cheaper. Another hit to the telecom industry in terms of, talk about an industry that has no pricing power.
I was going to say, I can't believe the phone companies would be happy about this development.
Well, they probably aren't, but it's something that they're either going to have to get with the program, or they're going to be out of business, because you and I both know 10 years from now, voice over IP, voice over the internet will be the way. It'll be the.
Which means if they're smart, they will have branched out into other things such as cable TV and stuff like that.
Bingo, which many of them are doing. That's exactly right. But then we've got the two ugly ones, Joan, and that's energy and insurance. Talk to us about energy.
Well, I don't know what else we can say about energy, and that's just no good news here. We keep saying that gasoline prices are going to top $2 a barrel, and
top how much a barrel?
Gasoline prices topping $2 a gallon.
A gallon, $40 a barrel probably is the, what is it now,
yeah,
40? Is it about 40?
I know it's over 30. It's probably over 35 now.
I saw something the other day that said, adjusted for inflation, if that the price is $100 a barrel, if compared to the way, when it was at the other, when it was high, when it was at that price before, the previous record in dollars, which was in the 70s, I think, that if adjusted for inflation, that same barrel of oil would be $100 today.
Well, see, I still don't understand what happened. OPEC, a long time ago, it said they wanted to keep prices at 29.
I'm still trying to sort out where all this money is going myself.
Right.
And I would have thought Kiplinger would have had that figured out by now, Joan.
We'll have to work on that.
20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, the lovely and talented and often acerbic Joan Price.
Down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find.
IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Joan Pride, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about business costs and what's happening to them. And I still say it's a matter of people being able to actually raise prices for the first time in years, which is kind of good for everybody a little bit. But you know, Joan, I think the key here is if your business is good and you're able to raise prices a little bit and you're showing a little bit of profit, you know, good for you, congratulations, and you should be very happy about that, but be careful not to buy a trip around the world with it because everybody else is getting to do the same thing. So you might
Exactly. Might
have to expect your dry cleaning bill to go up 5% and your lawn mowing bill to go up 8% or whatever. So you know it's out there, and that's a good thing, isn't it? In a lot of ways it is. And so we have to be prepared for that. But two things that are out of control, energy, as we talked about, petroleum especially, gasoline. And part of the problem, Joan, as we probably have reported before, is the lack. We've got more demand for gasoline, but we don't have more capacity to refine it, do we?
That's right. Haven't been building refineries.
And that's a problem, folks. That's a problem that we may, Joan, have only just begun paying for that.
Ooh.
You know?
That's not good.
No. And the other thing that you guys point out very well this week, Joan, in the letter, is insurance. Now, and we're not just talking about health insurance either, are we?
Well, no, although there is a little bright spot here on the non-health side, on property and casualty insurance and other types of insurance that businesses use, we're seeing a trend where even though rates are increasing, they're increasing at a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
So that is good news. Even in the workers' comp area, things are kind of slowing down. So your bill probably is going to be higher, but you're not going to see these whopping increases that you saw the last couple of years.
Workers' comp increase may be down by almost half, according to Kiplinger. And Joan, you know, as we've said before, we don't like the numbers in this case, but we like the trend.
The trend. Now, the exception to that is health insurance.
Yeah. But you know, Joan, here's something that still hasn't kicked in yet that we talked about in the last hour. With a healthcare expert, and that's the HSAs, which as you know were part of the Medicare bill of December 2003. That's called consumer managed healthcare. People are self-insured to some level, to $1,000 up to $2,000 to $5,000, self-insured per individual or per family in any given year, and that is a real world alternative with an incredible carrot to go with it. A nice, sweet, juicy carrot to go with
it,
to get people to move from managed care to personal, to consumer managed care, consumer care.
Right. We think that's probably going to be huge. It'll be interesting to see how HSAs play out and develop over the next year or so.
Well, if I have my way, I'm going to be telling people, I'm going to be shouting this from the ramparts because this is such an entrepreneurial resource, such an entrepreneurial development, Joan. Because think about it. The essence of HSAs, of healthcare, health savings accounts, the essence of it is two things. Number one is you being somewhat self-insured, which is the kind of thing that small business owners do every day with their businesses, taking risks with their businesses, calculated risks. And number two, saving for the future.
Right. But it's a good way for a business to help someone with health care costs without them taking on all the liability.
That's exactly
because
right.
You as a business, if you want to, you can set up an HSA for your employee. but you contributed to it, and I believe you get a deduction for the contribution.
Yes.
But your liability is limited by the contribution you make. The employee takes that help and gets the insurance, but then they have to make all the decisions and take the responsibility for the choices they make in health care, which
and
is
really
kind of what we've been moving toward all along anyway.
Exactly. And remember how the times you and I have talked about this, Joan, that if we can get – if remember all the years that you and I have said if we could ever get the tax code focused on self-determination for health care, that making it portable – that's when things would change. Remember all the years we talked about that? Now we've got that.
Right, and this is a big step toward that. Now,
huge.
The only trick here is this only applies to people with very high deductible policies.
But here's the thing, Joan,
for small businesses.
But here's the thing, though, Joan. The deductible isn't any more than what you put into the savings account.
Right.
So if you have a $1,000 deductible, you've also put $1,000 into the savings account. And if you use it, if you need that $1,000, you can't afford to pay it out of your own pocket. If you are sick or get hurt, you got the $1,000 there to pay
right.
for.
No, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that limits eligibility.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you, it's the good thing about it, though, Joan, is the difference in the HSAs and the MSAs is a lot more people are eligible now.
Right.
Everybody's eligible. See, the MSAs, only certain people were eligible. But with an MSA, an HSA, everybody's basically eligible, but certain components of it are a little different for the employed or the not employed. But it's very good, folks, and I hope you'll check into this. I hope you'll start looking into it, Joan. If we could get millions of Americans on HSAs, that would really help a lot of areas. It would help the overburdened healthcare system, wouldn't it?
Oh, no question about it.
Joan, another quick thing is that corporate governance, based on some of the new laws, is going to add a lot of expense. And when we come back after these messages, I want to hit that real quick, and then we'll move on to some other things. And folks, this is an expensive thing that's happened, and it's you heard us talk about Sarbanes-Oxley, and that's at the root of this. 29 after, we're going to be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you.
In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back at 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, we were talking about one last pretty good size expense that companies are having. Small businesses aren't affected so much by this one as much as large businesses, and that's the new corporate governance rules that are becoming added expense. And the Sarbanes-Oxley bill is at the heart of this, isn't it?
Right. And I hate to correct you, but what I would say, I think you're kind of true when you say big businesses are affected more than smalls, but what we have found is that smalls are affected more than we might realize, because there's a decent chunk of small businesses out there that are public companies.
Yeah.
And they have, their problem is that they don't have the economies of scale that large businesses have when coping with these costs, because they have higher costs with their accountants.
Exactly.
And their auditors. They have new controls that they have to put in place, new disclosures they have to make. They have the SEC all over their case. And it's actually made some companies consider going private because it's just not worth it.
Well, that's exactly. And no, you're exactly right. And I wanted to be a little more specific about what, when I say small, it doesn't affect small businesses. I'm really thinking of the people who are the true small business owners who probably will never be, you know, public companies. They'll never probably have, you know, 500 employees or anything. But you're right. The companies that are close to going public, or maybe only recently have gone public, this has created another layer of hoops to jump through, another layer of significant expense to have to pay.
Sure.
And
has.
What has happened is it's raised the minimum required in terms of capital, in terms of funding for a company to go from private to public too, hasn't it?
Yes, it's raised the minimum level of funding and added a whole bunch of hoops and different items that they have to apply to and comply with at the SEC.
I actually know a company that went public in the 90s, and she's been on the show. She's talked to us about this before, about this whole experience, and she actually took her company back private in the last couple of years.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah,
sure.
She said it was just because they went public and they were a pretty good sized company,
but they weren't quite big enough to really be able to sustain this new stuff, and it was eating them alive, and so they went back private, and now they're profitable again.
See?
Because they cut all that out. And let's be specific a little bit about what this means. The Sarbanes-Oxley bill, folks, was a reaction to all the corporate malfeasance that happened in 2001 primarily. It surfaced largely beginning in 2001 with Enron and WorldCom and all that. So it was an overreaction in many cases by Congress, by the government, to all of that when a dozen or so companies out of the 15,000 public companies, only about 8/10,000 of 1% of the companies did anything wrong, they overreacted. Now this is this new expensive blanket of regulation that's put on all of them, and it has to do with how they manage their boards, how they audit their records and all that, doesn't it, Joan?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to take issue a little bit on the idea of overreaction, because I think boards over time have become way too chummy with the top officials of companies. And maybe the examples aren't as extreme as Enron, but I'm not saying that all companies are dishonest, but I think there were maybe better decisions could have been made if boards were not as chummy with their top executives, and if the auditors weren't also providing other consulting services that cause conflicts of interest.
Well, the reason that I say overreacting, Joan, is because everything that Enron and WorldCom and all those guys did, there were already laws on the books to that were supposed to prevent those things. Those guys broke the law. They're going. The guys who are in jail right now and are going to jail aren't going to jail because of Sarbanes-Oxley. They're going to jail because of laws that were already on the books.
Right, and that's why Sarbanes-Oxley has gotten at some other problems in corporate governance that needed to be fixed.
Well, exactly. Although I still stand by my modifier, I still say that it overreacted in terms of how far it went, when all they could have done was taken the same laws that they had and just improved them a little bit. And another place, Joan, another place that this has hurt smaller businesses, and I'm talking about like a 50-employee company that gets audited financial statements. The Sarbanes-Oxley bill has increased the cost, the price of audits now. And so they now cost that level of accounting, auditing accounting services, is now cost small businesses more than it used to. That's where it's gotten down farther into the smaller business ranks. And it's unfortunate, but it's one of those things. Quick break, 22. We'll be right back. We've got more to come with our good friend Joan Bride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team.
Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. I'll be in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and we'll be talking to some really smart folks, like our friend Joan Pride. Not that she's not smart, but these are some more smart folks. We'll be at the Future of Entrepreneurship Conference at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is being conducted by the SBA's Office of Advocacy. So we'll be interviewing four or five, actually, folks who are going to be part of that conference. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I think you and I are going to learn a lot tomorrow, folks, when we meet these people on the air and when I attend this conference. And then I'm going to come back after the conference and tell you what I learned. And I think you'll find it interesting. Joan Pride is our guest. She's with the Kiplinger folks, the Kiplinger editors, and they got a lot of publications that I like telling you about. The Kiplinger Kiplinger letter, I should say, the Washington letter, has been out since the 20s, 81st year now they're in. And it comes every week by email or by print. You can get it by mail or email. And then they got three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter, which have been out. Now, how long have those been out, Joan?
Well, not quite as long as the WASH letter, but fairly long. I mean,
and those are biweekly,
the tax letter.
Every other week. And then,
yes.
And then there's a magazine, too, right, Joan?
Right, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Now, what do we typically find in the magazine?
Well, just a lot of helpful advice, not just in terms of how to invest, but we get into a lot of other things like, you know, buying the best digital camera or looking at how to save for college or things like that.
Right. And that's not only available at the website, Kiplinger, with the other publications, Kiplinger.com, but also you can call in. Joan, tell us about that.
Oh, right. We have a toll-free number, which is 800-544-0155.
And don't forget, they've got a 30-day free trial, folks. And also the Kiplinger magazine is available at newsstands and bookstores. Joan, a little bit of bad news with regard to taxes. According to you guys, odds of a business being audited will nearly double before long. Say it ain't so, Joan.
Well, the good news there is that even if the odds will double, there still won't be, relatively speaking, there won't be too many audits if you're a small, particularly if you're a smaller business.
Yeah.
But, the IRS is really concerned about things like payroll tax, and they're very interested in all these issues of executive pay,
right,
which sort of is an outgrowth of the whole WorldCom Enron scandal.
Right. Well, and the other thing that's going to happen, Joan, as we have more and more small businesses, more and more people are becoming entrepreneurs starting their own small business, there's more of a chance that it's just almost by definition more of a chance that the IRS will not be collecting as much payroll tax as they would have if those people had been employed by a larger company.
Well,
because it's not intuitive. It's not an intuitive thing. It's not an easy thing to get into and to stay into the habit of paying payroll tax.
That's right.
Once a month or so.
Although the IRS is really pushing this whole idea of electronic deposit, which I think is going to help businesses quite a bit, and they even have they're going to be starting a new program where if you've paid a penalty in the past using paper coupons,
right,
and you switch over, you're going to get your penalty waived.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, and the electronic folks, look into that. That's something that the IRS is really
focusing on these days, as Joan said, and I really encourage you to, it's a way of making things a lot easier on yourself, a lot more automated, and it should make you be able to comply with the IRS requirements a lot easier, and that'll help you sleep a lot better at night.
Right, and it's called EFTPS, and you can go right to its website. It's www.eftps.gov.
All right, and that's where you can do the automatic transfers for
you'll learn all about it and figure out how to do it, yeah.
Give us that website again.
Okay, it's www.eftps.gov.
E-S-T-P-S.
E-F, F as in Frank. It's the Electronic Federal Tax Payment System.
E-F-T-P-S.
Yes.
Okay, dot?
Gov, G-O-V.
Okay, check that out when you get a chance, folks. And Joan, let's move all the way down to the bottom of the page and talk about some housing. Low interest rates are extending the nation's home building boom, as you guys report this week. Some people are saying that that's also creating a little bit of a single-family housing bubble. What do you think?
Well, I just don't know how this can go on and on and on. Of course, you have to understand I'm in kind of a strange area here. We've had a white-hot housing market for the last couple of years.
But you're in D.C. That's an artificial economy.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, it's just gotten so crazy. We're becoming like New York and L.A. because people are having to move farther and farther and farther out to find affordable housing and still be able to commute into Washington, D.C. It's gotten crazy.
One of the most interesting things to me, Joan, about housing is to contemplate what's going to happen over the next, say, 20 or 25 years as baby boomers, 80 million baby boomers, buy houses and, you know, upgrade to the next house and move on to a different type of house based on their new lifestyle with emptiness and that sort of thing. You know, there are 80 million of those people are going to need housing, different kinds of housing, but the people coming along behind them who will be the typical, you would think would be the prospects to buy those houses, there are only 30 million of them.
Yeah.
So I wonder if anybody's taken a look at what the housing market could look like, say, in 20 or 25 years.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting thing. I'm going to see if I can find that person who can tell us about that. Joan, we're about to take a break, and when we come back, what we're going to do, we're going to get Joan to tell us about how Mr. Bush is going to solve the jobs issue, because he's got to do that. If he's going to get reelected, one of the things that he needs is he needs some good news on jobs between now and November. Joan knows how he's going to do that, right, Joan?
Sure.
And you're going to tell us about that right after these messages.
Sure.
And then we're going to talk about some other stuff right after that. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joan Price. Back at 7 till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, Mr. Bush has got a sack of opportunities and a sack of problems going into the election in November. Which sack is bigger?
Ooh.
How
boy,
like
that's
that?
The $64,000 question.
Hmm?
I don't know.
He's got some good news. And he's got some bad news. And one of the
he's also got a sack of money, so I would think that kind of outweighs everything.
So that's the salve that's going to make it all go get better, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Money cures a lot of ills, but sometimes it creates ills. But the good, that's a good one, Joe. one of the challenges he has, and in some ways, Joan. There are more people, you know this, I think maybe you guys reported this recently, there are more people working today than ever before.
Right.
Right? I mean, there are more people employed today than ever before. But what we're upset about is, and what people should be upset about, if they don't have a job especially, is that there are a lot of people who don't have a job. And if that situation doesn't start turning, if we don't like the numbers, if we like the trend, if that doesn't happen, if the trend doesn't get better between now and November, that's going to be a big negative, isn't it?
Yeah, that will be a hurdle he'll have to overcome.
I mean, and not that the Democrats will paint it in the worst possible light or anything like
that. Never.
They would never do that, would they?
No.
Speaking of politics, Joan, what's it looking like for Congress?
For Congress?
Yeah, the Senate.
Well,
you guys,
let's see. Well, we're saying that the prospects for Democrats are improving in the Senate, but they're not going to take over the Senate. But the margin might get squeezed.
One or two.
Well, I shouldn't say the margin will get squeezed, but I guess the point is they won't lose as badly as we thought they were going to.
Major challenges in the South, Joan, and that is because they got five incumbents retiring the Democrats.
Right.
And that's going to be a challenge. But the Democrat, you know, the presidential candidate is not really counting on the South anyway, is he?
I don't think so, no.
I think he's given up on the South. That's the indication I got.
I don't know about that, but I can't imagine that he expects to win a lot of southern states.
I heard the Kerry campaign one time say that they're working on a strategy of how they can win and not have the South, not win anything in the South. Which, as you know, Gore almost did that. Almost did, even losing his own state. So it can't.
That's the thing. If all he had to do was win the states he won plus his own state, and he would have been all set.
Right. Exactly. Joan, let's move over and talk about the economy. Consumers are still the heroes, aren't they? U.S. consumers are still the heroes, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I don't know how they do it, but they still are.
You and I have been talking about this. I mean, my goodness. And of course, part of the thing that's helped this has been the low interest rates, hasn't it?
Right. And, you know, the stock market has come back a bit, but low interest rates have been allowing people to continue to refinance more than once, maybe more than twice. Mm-hmm. So they keep getting money in their pocket that they can spend.
Well, I saw something yesterday, I think, that said most mortgage transactions are refis.
Oh, sure. I believe
refinancing.
It.
Yeah. And I want to thank you, Joan, for the price you're paying, the part that you're paying in this third item here under this section, Joan. Mm-hmm. Upper incomers are doing much of the spending, and Joan, I just want to thank you for all the part that you and your kind are doing for the.
I'm doing my best in the luxury product market.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, what are you taking delivery of your yacht? What next week is it?
Yeah.
And your jet came in last week, didn't it? And lots of flashy new car models that I know are parked out. But seriously, there's a lot of that going on right now. And,
that's true.
And so it's in a lot of ways, Joan. If you look around, Joan, and you think about what's happening in the world, I mean, planet Earth is really under a lot of tension right now.
Yep.
And Europe is having a tough time. China's doing okay, but they got their problems. But yet the United States, the economy is just incredible, isn't it?
I don't know how we do it.
Well, it's trade, Joan. It's a free market. It's a free market economy. I won't say it is best because we can always get better, but it's a pretty darn cool free market economy, isn't it?
Right, and you know it's funny because we started by talking about globalization, and here we are talking about it again toward the end of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Globalization, Joan, is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's, in my opinion, globalization is everything that's right about humanity. It's part of our intellect. It's the growth of our intellect. It's
created. Well, there's no stopping it, certainly.
It's like holding back the tide, right?
Right.
Sure. See, might as well figure out how to be successful with it. It's not going to go away.
That's
Joan,
right.
Thank you for being here. Good job. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with a Kiplinger editor. She'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Don't forget, folks, I'll be here all week. You've been a great audience. Don't forget to tip your waitresses. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.